Well, tonight we're looking at Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 657. This is Psalm 128. Hear now the word of God. A song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your home. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May the Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of his word. As you consider the concepts of fear and blessedness or happiness. Are those two things that you normally would piece together? Tonight our psalm does just that. It pieces together two concepts that in our normal thinking are far from one another. But here, as the Lord often confounds the wisdom of this world, he brings together the concept of blessedness or happiness and fear. The call for us in this psalm is a reminder to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord and be blessed. That's a simple call of this Psalm 128. Fear the Lord and be blessed. We'll be looking at this psalm in two parts. We'll be looking at, so what does it mean to fear the Lord in verse 1? But then also looking at the remainder of the psalm in the consequence of fearing God. So fear the Lord by walking in his ways in verse 1. Now this word blessed here can be translated as happy. Happy is the one. Happy is the man. You shall be happy. It shall be well with you in verse 2. And it refers to a state of happiness, a state of blessedness that is given. And this psalm roots that blessedness and that state of happiness in the fear of the Lord. That is where, for the people of God, that is the foundation of our blessedness, the foundation of our happiness. So that also causes us to ask, what does the fear of the Lord really mean? What do we mean by the fear of the Lord? If you do a search of that phrase in the English Standard Version, it's used about 26 times. And whenever it's used, it's, you know, the common thing that first comes to our minds is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge in other texts. It's the source of life itself in other verses. And in most of these contexts, the picture that is given is a call to turn away from evil. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom, it's the beginning of knowledge, it's the source of life itself, and it's a call to turn away from what is evil. Now, when we think about the fear of the Lord, what it really boils down to is just that. It is the fear of the Lord. It is a fear of him. You know, Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and Luke chapter 12, verse 5, where he's encouraging his followers not to fear man, and not to fear mankind and what mankind can do, who can only destroy the body, but after that, there's nothing left. But rather, he says, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We are to fear God. And yes, it has with it the idea of this awe and this reverence we're to have for him. But when you consider, you know, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the source of life itself, it begins with an understanding of who we are as sinful people in the presence and in the face of a holy and righteous God who is just in destroying us, who is just in wiping us out. But he doesn't. He condescends to know us and to save us. But that understanding of who we are, it's a fear we're to have of the Lord. Now, if we have been brought into a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if by God's grace we have been given this understanding by faith of the Lord and who he is and what he has done for us, and we've confessed our sins and we've repented and we've turned to him, that fear is no longer a paralyzing terror, which it should be, but it's still a healthy fear that we're to have. You know, as you consider the question, why do we walk in a way that is consistent with the laws of our land? Why do we, if we're law-abiding citizens, why do we obey the laws around us? Why do we separate our garbage into three different bins? Even something a little bit as that. Why do we obey those little white signs that we see on the side of the road? Hopefully, within reason. Why do we, on the bigger scale, why do we not murder people? Why do we not steal things? You know, it's, when it boils down to it, your average person most likely does these things because they don't want to suffer through the consequences of doing it. You know, we obey speeding laws because we don't want speeding tickets and have to pay a fine. We separate our garbage because we don't want to have a fine. We park in the right spot because we don't want to have a fine. There's, even in the laws of this land, there is a sense in which we fear the consequences of breaking those laws. How much more then, brothers and sisters, when we know we break the laws of God? We know we are lawbreakers in the eyes of God. That is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the source of life itself. Because when we come to the understanding that we are lawbreakers before the lawgiver, it brings us to our knees in humble repentance by his grace. Now, this fearing of the law of the Lord, it brings us to him in falling upon him for his mercy. But as we look at this second half of the verse, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. As the Psalms typically do, the first phrase says something and the second phrase reinforces it in some way, either giving the contrast or it says the same thing in a different way or maybe expands upon the idea. Here, the second half of the verse 1 gives us the definition, according to the psalmist, of what it means to fear the Lord. I mean, we fear the Lord by walking in his ways. This is how we show we fear the Lord. We walk in his ways. The laws of the land, we follow them because we fear the repercussions. We walk in the ways of the Lord out of a holy and right and godly fear of him. Because he is the one who has the power to destroy our lives in every facet of our existence. He holds our very existence in the palms of his hand. He could just will it and we would be gone. Every breath we take, every beat of our heart is by his design and by his decree. You know, rightly is it said, you know, when sinners in the hands of an angry God, you know, we should fear that concept that we are in the hands of a holy and righteous God. Apart from Christ, it should be a terror. But even as his children, there should be a holy and reverential fear, a desire to walk in his ways, that we not bring the repercussions of breaking his commands. So this is how the psalmist starts. He says, blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. It defines fearing the Lord and walking in the ways of God. And so, brothers and sisters, let us show our reverential fear of the Lord by striving by His grace to walk in His ways. The rest of the psalm gives blessings or how such a one is blessed or made happy. And there are really three categories. The second point, as you fear the Lord by walking His ways, you will be blessed. There are three areas of blessing or happiness that come in fearing the Lord. Now, first of all, individually, in verse 2, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed. It shall be well with you. This concept of eating the fruit and the labor of your hands, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 16, when it is listing out and recounting what is expected when the laws are broken, when the commands that have been given are broken, one of the first things that God says in verse 16 is that you will sow in vain and your enemy will eat. This balance of a blessing and a curse, in one sense, it shows us the happiness and the blessing that can come from the Lord pouring out His goodness upon a land, that it produces its fruit, and those people who sow reap what is labored for. It contrasts with what we looked at last week in Psalm 127, how it is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives His beloved sleep. For those who walk in the ways of the Lord, the blessing and happiness that is given is that our work is not in vain. Our work is not in vain. It is in the Lord, and He gives blessing of our hands. The second way in which the blessing is seen is in the home. It's in the family unit. We see in verse 2 it's individual, but then in verses 3 and 4 it expands and it encompasses now the home and the family. The wife is seen in verse 3 as like a fruitful vine within your house. Now, the imagery there of a fruitful vine doesn't necessarily mean childbirth. It might have that as a part of it, but it's in this whole, even stemming from verse 2, in the imagery there of agriculture, working with your hands and receiving the produce and the fruit. It's a view of the blessing that the wife is within the home. You know, Proverbs 31 expands it beyond just the bearing of children, but there's business being done. The man doesn't have to worry about his reputation because the woman does well and does business and conducts business well within the community. In the gate, there is a respectfulness there. It's contrasted with Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11, where the promiscuous woman is always seen just wanting to get away from home and go out and be promiscuous in the land. The contrast here is a blessing that is seen of the home. There is a blessing there in happiness, in a home that is built around the law of the Lord and the fear of God and following in His ways. There is a happiness there and a blessing there in a family that is so structured. It's also seen there in the children. The children are as olive plants or olive shoots around your table. Again, there's no number given of how many children. There's no necessarily children that are coming from our bodies, but could be adopted children as well. The children that the Lord provides in the home, it is a great blessing and a source of happiness. And again, the imagery there of agriculture, of olive shoots that are a fruitful blessing, the home is blessed. Again, as it is structured and organized around this fear of the Lord and walking in His ways. It brings to mind in Deuteronomy how Moses charged the people to teach these commands and teach these laws to their children, to raise them up knowing what God has commanded, but also what He has done and how He has worked for His people. We're here given the imagery in this psalm of the blessing that we can find in the home, So there's blessing given in individually in the work and the labor that one has, that it bears fruit. There's blessing given in the home, that the wife and the children are blessings to the household. This home itself is a blessing as it follows the ways of God. And that leads us into the final two verses, that this blessing is also expands beyond the home, but to the city as well, to the nation. The imagery that is given here, Lord, the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That last phrase there really sums up what those last two verses are talking about, is peace on a city, peace on a nation, peace on a region. And it is also seen in that idea of your children's children being seen. In order for that to happen, there's no war. There's no famine. There's no pestilence. You can see your children's children. There's a prospering of the city there, of the nation that is given. Scripture also says that the nation is blessed who God is the Lord, who walks in his ways. So we have here in verses 2 through the close of the psalm, this picture expanding outward of happiness and blessings that are given for those who walk in the ways of the Lord out of a respectful and godly fear of him. Now, as we think about this picture, one of the questions that comes to my mind is, why don't we always see this? Why don't we always see this? We just heard tonight a prayer request about a young man and with a young family. And I guess he's my age, so he's reaching more middle age now. So not much of a young man anymore. But a father with 5 kids with his potential diagnosis. And I know the man. He's one of the most godly young men I know. And even as we were young and going to youth group together, camps and he's always someone I've looked up to. How does that fit into here? Brothers and sisters, it's going to remind us of something that I think I've mentioned before. There's a pastor named Vodi Bakum, which Alicia and I went to a conference a few years ago that he was a keynote speaker on. Speaking on the Proverbs. And one of the dangerous things with the Proverbs that he pointed out is that we tend to look at them as promises. We tend to look at them and we read them that you do A and you get B. But they're not promises. It's wisdom literature, and it's literature that paints the picture of what is typically the case. What is the generalized result in truth. And Scripture teaches that God's commands, when followed, produce really good things. But in our life, as we follow God's commands, we must not lose sight of and forget God's providence. And realize that although the normal situation, what is typically the case, is what Psalm 128 is giving us, and when we fear the Lord, we walk in his ways, this is what we can expect. This is the general truth. But there is also God's providences in ways that he works that we don't understand. And he's not contradicting himself, but he is working towards an ultimate good for us on individual levels. So he brings painful diagnosis. He brings trouble at work. He brings difficulty in the home to work in us. And to work for us a greater blessing as we are molded and shaped more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ. What Psalm 128 gives us are the blessings that are typical. But as God also works in mysterious ways in his providences, I think we all know godly individuals whose children have walked away and are not a blessing to their home. We may know of homes where there are godly people who have spouses that are not being a blessing to the home. And it doesn't mean that the other individuals or the parents are not fearing God and not walking in His ways. It's that the Lord is working in them according to His own design and decree. The revealed things belong to us, but the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But Psalm 28 gives us the general pattern and the typical response. There is blessing. There is great happiness in walking in the ways of the Lord and fearing Him. And that is all summarized by the last line. Because one of the greatest things that the Lord gives us is peace. So that when the hardship does come, even though we may be following God as He has called us to, we can still have peace. Because we know our God is good. We know He is righteous. And He knows, He desires our greatest good, which is our salvation being worked out to completion in Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, in Christ, we fear the Lord and are abundantly blessed. How do fear and happiness go together? They come together and they meet in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how fear, blessedness, and happiness come together. We look to our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one who suffered, who paid the price for our sins, who bore the full weight of the wrath of His Father. And we give thanks because we know in our own frailties, in our own shortcomings, we don't deserve any happiness or blessing from God. We deserve the just judgment of God. And so we walk in a way of godly fear before Him, knowing what our sins deserve, but walking not in our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, and walking not according to our own righteousness, but according to the righteousness of Christ. As our Father looks upon us as sons and daughters, and has blessed us truly with every spiritual blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let us fear the Lord and be blessed. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You have given to us in Jesus Christ. Every earthly good that we receive from You is but a pale shadow compared to the glory that we have in Jesus Christ and the true happiness that we have in Him alone. May we consider all things lost compared to the glories of Christ. And Lord, may we, by Your grace and the strength that You give us, walk in Your ways, and so be happy and blessed as we fear You. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.